purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vishnu Puran, it is said, Gunamscha Doshamscha Mune Vyatite Samasta Kalyana Gunatmako Hi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material form, qualities or faults. He is spiritual and is the only reservoir of all spiritual qualities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam, the Lord's activities of saving the devotees and annihilating the demons are transcendental. Anyone annihilated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead gets the same result as a devotee who is protected by the Lord. Both of them are transcendentally promoted. The only difference is that a devotee goes directly to the spiritual planets and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord, whereas demons are promoted to Brahmaloka, the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. Both of them, however, are transcendentally promoted. The Lord's killing or annihilating of the demons is not exactly like the killing of this material world. Although he appears to act within the modes of material nature, he is nirgun, above the modes of nature. His name is not material. Otherwise, how could one get liberation by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram? The names of the Lord, like Ram and Krishna, are non-different from the person Ram and Krishna. Thus, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one constantly associates with Ram and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore becomes liberated. A practical example is Ajamil, who always remained transcendental to his activities simply by chanting the name Narayan. If this was true of Ajamil, what is to be said of the Supreme Lord? When the Lord comes to this material world, he does not become a product of matter. This is confirmed throughout Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chame divyam avajananti mamuda manushim tanum ashritam. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ram or Krishna, descends to act transcendentally for our benefit, we should not consider him an ordinary human being. When the Lord comes, he does so on the basis of his spiritual potency, sambhavami atma mayaya. Because he is not forced to come by the material energy, he is always transcendental. One should not consider the Supreme Lord an ordinary human being. Material names and forms are contaminated, but spiritual name and spiritual form are transcendental. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Thinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Verse Number 8 and 9. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material birth, activities, name, form, qualities or faults. To fulfill the purpose for which this material world is created and destroyed. He comes in the form of a human being like Lord Ram or Lord Krishna by his original internal potency. He has immense potency and in various forms, all free from material contamination, he acts wonderfully. He is therefore the Supreme Brahm. I offer my respects to him. Hare Krishna. So we are reading the prayers of Gajendra. Gajendra is offering his respects, his pranams, his obeisances, and also glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. This particular concept that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, doesn't have material birth, qualities, form, name, etc., will find repeated again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam. The reason is the conditioned souls who are under the three modes of material nature most of the time come in contact with objects or personalities who are also under the three modes of material nature. So, after all this experience in this world, when we come across a new person or a new object, we just think that is also part of this material world. That is also under the three modes of material nature. It comes automatically. We don't doubt this understanding. We don't try to investigate. If you get a box, gift for you, and you open and one object comes out, you are not going to think whether this is spiritual object or material object, whether it is beyond the three modes or under the three modes. It will be automatically first experienced under the three modes. It's by default in us. Or if you come across a person, we are not going to think whether he is beyond the three modes or under the three modes. By default, we are going to accept he is under the three modes. Because of repeated experience in the material world of objects and people under the three modes of material nature, we conclude, we understand any new object or person whom we come in contact is under the three modes of material nature. Right? Just for example, if we get a guest, we'll offer him prasad. Why? Why we offer him prasad? Because we eat prasad. So we think everybody must be eating prasad. And up till now, we have not come across anybody who doesn't eat food. So every person we come across, the first default is he will need hungry, he will need prasad. Nothing wrong about this, good hospitality. But that's what our understanding of creation is. But maybe somebody is there, transcendental, fasting for some years and years, not eating, but we don't come across such people. So in the same way, it is very rare to come across transcendence. Very rare. But the day we come across, we should not do the same mistake. So this education is given every day in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is transcendental. The holy name which we chant every day is transcendental. The deity whom we worship every day is transcendental. The Bhagavatam which we read and hear every day is transcendental. The content of Srimad Bhagavatam, the katha, the verses, the words is also transcendental. Krishna's birth is transcendental. For some people, it may be little easy to accept God in the sky, in the spiritual planet, not material. But the same God, when He comes down and takes birth from a womb of a mother and steals butter and runs behind cows and girls, to accept that person as transcendental is not easy. So it is repeatedly said, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Krishna's birth, Janma, and Krishna's Karma, activities, are all Divyam. Divyam means transcendental, beyond the three modes of material nature. If a child sees sun and says, oh, so big bulb is there in the sky, because he is used to seeing bulb and tube lights as sources of light, so he sees the sun and says, oh, so big bulb in the sky. Is he correct? But that is his experience. Sun is source of light, bulb is also source of light, and if you call the sun big bulb, seems to be fine, but actually it's not fine. If you consider all the bulbs and tube lights of this world, or lamps, sun is transcendental to this category. Sun is beyond this category. In the same way, Krishna, he appears in this world, seems like other people, little more powerful, little more intelligent, little more strong, little more beautiful, so is little big bulb. Though that's not true. Even though he cries, even though he steals butter, even though he becomes hungry, thirsty, but he is transcendental. So we don't have to judge Krishna because he imitates human activities. When he appeared from the womb of Devaki, he had four hands. He had a golden helmet, yellow dhoti, four weapons in four hands, Sankh Chakra Gada Padma, and ornaments, Kaustubh Muni, and flower garland, Vaijanti Mala, and he was smiling and speaking, and he was a grown-up body. No ordinary child takes birth this way. Ordinary child will take birth naked, not with yellow dhoti. Other yellow things will be there, but no clothes, no ornaments, no flower garland, no helmet, four hands, impossible, ordinarily not possible, and speaking instead of crying, smiling. So that's Krishna. He appeared in this way in front of Devaki and Mother Devaki. Vasudev, he offered prayers to Narayan. Krishna came in Narayan form, and Mother Devaki also offered prayers, and she was shocked to see such a big person came out of my small womb. Logically, it doesn't fit. How such a big grown-up body will come out from such a small womb? But it happened. He was there. A bigger shock she had, and she asked that, I have heard, my dear Lord, that all the universes, big gigantic universes, millions of universes, are in your belly. They are in the belly of Mahavishnu. They are in the belly of Krishna. So all the big, big, gigantic universes are in your belly. Said, yes. Then how come you were in my belly? That means all these universes also in her belly. And where is she? In one of the universe. So Devaki is in one universe. That universe is in Krishna. And that Krishna is in Devaki. And that Devaki again in one universe. Now logically this will not, nobody can understand this. This illogical, beyond ordinary understanding, beyond rationality. This is Krishna's birth. Transcendental. Cannot be understood by our material, academic understanding of world or mind and intelligence. And like this, there are so many Krishna's birth, Krishna's various pastimes, his form. It's all transcendental, beyond the three modes of material nature. And this is material world under the three modes of material nature. So even when Krishna, who is transcendental, comes in the material world which is not transcendental, he still remains transcendental. He still remains beyond the three modes of material nature. He still does not get affected by mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. That is great. That he still remains aloof. He creates this material world. He comes inside this material world. He stays and performs pastimes in this material world. He is present in every atom of this material world. And he is not present in the material world. First you say, I am in every atom. Yes. You are in every atom. Then you say, I am not in material world. Yes, you are not in this material world. And did you understand this? No, I did not understand this, but that's fine with me. Only devotees have so much intelligence to say that is fine with me. Non-devotees would never accept this. They will never understand this. That how Krishna is present in every atom of this material world, and he is not present in the material world. He is beyond, beyond the three modes of material nature. So then, why do you create this world? Why do you come in this world? And why do you perform this human-like pastimes? Because his human-like pastimes are bewildering. Mother Kunti, on Deepavali day, she thought, let me go to Vrindavan. It's Kartik month, Deepavali, nice festival. I will go and take darshan of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. By taking darshan of Krishna, by serving Krishna, I will get liberated. So she went to Vrindavan to take darshan of Krishna, and she went to Yashoda Maiya's house, and she saw Krishna, small baby form, bound with ropes to the wooden mortar, all friends around, all small friends around, and Krishna is pleading his friends, khol, khol, please open this knot, please open this rope, and the friends say, no, no. If we open, Maya will bind us also. So Krishna is pleading his friends to open the rope, and the friends are not opening. And Krishna himself can't open. And Kunti Maharani sees all this. And she gets bewildered. She said, he can't open his rope. How will he open our ropes? Ropes of cycle of birth and death. This is bewildering. But we think we understand this. Fine, no bewilderment. Great. Kunti Maharani gets bewildered, but I am fine. There are two types of attitude or bhavas towards Krishna. One is Aishwarya, one is Madhurya. Aishwarya means the devotee worships Krishna as Master, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Proprietor of all the universes, Supreme Creator, Supreme Enjoyer. So there is inferior-superior gap. Krishna is superior, I am inferior, he is master, I am servant. Then the next bhava is Madhurya, in which devotees offer their love to Krishna not as master and servant, but as equal. Friend, son, lover, husband, equal. In Vrindavan, that's prevalent attitude, that Krishna is one among us. Yashoda Maya, my son, Balram, my brother, Sakha is my friend, Gopi is my lover. So there, the Aishwarya expect is not there, that he is supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer, supreme master of all the universes. There is a sweeter aspect of sweetness. So when devotees who have Aishwarya bhav, they happen to witness a pastime in Madhurya bhav, they get bewildered. So Kunti Maharani, when she witnessed Madhurya pastime of Krishna being bound by ropes, she got bewildered. When devotees who are in Madhurya category, they happen to witness pastime in Aishwarya category, they don't accept. They also don't accept or get bewildered. Like when Yashoda Maiya saw Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill for 7 days, 7 nights continuously, she never accepted that this Krishna did. She always said, my husband did it, Krishna was just lifting his hand to show. Drama. Actually, my husband lifted Govardhan Hill. How can my son lift Govardhan Hill? He is still drinking my breast milk, he can't lift. That's Madhurya, sweetness. So those who are in Aishwarya, they don't understand Madhurya. Those who are in Madhurya, they don't understand Aishwarya. Only some of us are so great, we understand both and no problem. So this bewilderment occurs because Krishna is unlimited. Nobody can understand Krishna full, 100%. Nobody. Nobody can have Krishna's knowledge 100%. Nobody can claim that I know everything about Krishna. Even Krishna cannot make this claim that I know everything about myself. Even Krishna doesn't have full knowledge of himself. How somebody else can claim? So he is unlimited. So this unlimited personality of Godhead comes in this material world for a particular mission. This material world is created so that we get reformed, rectified, and go back to our home. Our home is not this material world. Our home is spiritual world. We have come from spiritual world. We are not part of this world. We are imported mal. We are foreign mal. We are from outside. We have come here. And we have to go back. That is the purpose of life. That is the purpose of human form. That is the purpose of this whole creation, that we have to go back. And to help us to go back, Krishna comes as Paramatma in our heart. He comes as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He comes as deity. He comes as Acharya. He sends his representatives. He comes himself as incarnations, avatar. He appears as an ordinary human being like Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, but performs wonderful activities. Why he performs these wonderful activities? To attract us. By hearing about these wonderful activities, we get attracted to Krishna. And also he protects devotees. kills demons, paritranaya sadhuna, vinashaya cha duskrita, protects dharma, protects followers of dharma, kills demons who are adharmic. He killed Ravan, protected Sugriv, protected Sita Devi, protected all the devotees. He killed Kams, protected Devaki Vasudev. He killed Hiranyakashipu and protected Prahlad Maharaj. He killed Hiranaksha and protected Mother Prithvi. So he comes to kill demons, protect devotees. But it is so wonderful that both whom he kills and he protects, both get liberated. Both get spiritually promoted. Both go back to the spiritual world. Such a wonderful activity, such a wonderful effect of killing versus loving, that both get benefit. There is no duality. In the material world there is duality. If you love one person and hate or kill another person, both will get different results. But when Krishna loves or kills, both get same result. They get promoted to the spiritual world. Not all demons get promoted to the spiritual world. Some of them merge in impersonal effulgence of the Lord. Like Agasur. When Agasur was killed, in front of everybody, all the demigods, the soul from Agasur body came and stood in the sky stationary with illumination, with light. And when Krishna came out of Agasur body, the soul came and merged in Krishna's body. After that he got Sarupya Mukti in Vaikuntha. So visibly Agasur, the soul, got liberated. Even visibly Shishupal, when in the Rasya Yajna Krishna killed Shishupal, the soul inside Shishupal's body in front of all the guests and the assembly went and merged into Krishna's body. And Yudhishthira Maharaj saw this. Said, wonderful. He was surprised, ashcharya. He was bewildered. He said, generally liberation is obtained after thousands and thousands of years of tapasya, after lots of sadhana. This Shishupal, he was always blaspheming you. He should go to hell. He should go to Yamraj. But in front of us, he is getting liberated. How come somebody gets liberated by blaspheming you? This is bewildering to me. He is blaspheming you and he is getting liberated. Somebody is glorifying you, he is getting liberated. Somebody is offering you nice milk with badam pista and somebody is offering milk with poison, and this lady gets liberated first and he is still here in material world still offering badam pista milk. What is this happening? This is bewildering. Krishna is like that. His mercy is causeless. He gives his mercy to anybody and everybody. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and gave the holy name to anybody and everybody. But still we should be clear that he is transcendental. Krishna's holy name, Krishna's pastimes are transcendental. If they are not transcendental, if they are material, then Sukadeva Goswami would have never got attracted to these pastimes. Sukadeva Goswami was born liberated. As soon as he came out of the womb of his mother, he left his home. He came out of the womb of his mother at age 16. Young body, full naked, he left his house. He didn't try to see who is my mother, who is my father. He just left. He was impersonal liberation, impersonal liberated, Brahmalin. His father Vyasdev ran behind him. My dear son, please wait, please wait. Sukadeva Goswami didn't even reply. didn't even stood, turned back and say, Father, I am not coming back. Please don't follow me. No, he just left. He crossed a river where young girls were taking bath. As soon as these girls saw Vyasadeva, they started covering their body. They were taking bath naked. Vyasadeva was surprised. He asked the girls, just now my 16-year-old, sweet 16, naked young boy, son, passed from this place. You girls didn't cover your body. I am a 90-year-old grandfather and you are covering your body. What kind of behavior is this? And the girl said, your son does not know the difference between male and female. So we don't need to cover our body. You distinguish between male and female, so we are covering our body. So Sukhdev was even free from attraction to young naked girls. This is highest attraction in the material world. If somebody is free from this attraction, that means he is free from all other attraction. What to speak about pizza, vada pav, belpuri, mobile, laptop, car, bungalow. He is free from all this. And this Sukhdev Goswami goes to the forest and hears one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna is merciful to Putana, Bakasur, Agasur, and he gets attracted. And the brahmacharis who are singing this verse, he asks them, are there any more verses like this? They say, yes, 18,000 more. I said, I want to know. I said, come to our Guru Maharaj. And where they go? To his own house. To his father's house. He sits, learn whole Bhagavatam, again leaves the house. So if Sukhdev Goswami gets attracted to Krishna Katha, this itself is a proof that Krishna Katha is transcendental, not under matter, not material. Otherwise, Sukhdev Goswami will never get attracted. And another proof is, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, who is non-different from Krishna, a person gets liberated. If the holy name of Krishna was under three modes of material nature and we chant, we will never get liberated. Ajamila, he performed so many sinful activities, but he was liberated, transcendental to all the sinful activities, because he chanted the name of Narayan. Indicating his son, not even Lord Narayan. But still he got liberated. So this is power of the holy name. Haridas Thakur. Srila Haridas Thakur was given the name, given the title, Namacharya Haridas Thakur. Namacharya. What does it mean? Namacharya. Professor of the holy name. This is not a small title. Professor is a very big title. We go to colleges. We have so many professors. Generally in one college, how many professors will be there? Fifty professors generally. This is wrong. They are lecturers. Those who teach in the classroom, they are lecturers. After 10 years of experience and few research paper, they get promoted to what is called reader. After few years of readership and further research, they get to promoted to what is called associate professor. And after that, if you are alive enough, you get promoted to professor. So if there is a college of 50 lecturers, there may be one or no professor. If there is a big college of 100, 200 lecturers, maybe one principal or somebody senior, maybe a professor. So professor, so very high designation. We call them professors, but what they are? Lecturers. So Nam Acharya, professor of the holy name, one who has completely realized, what realized? That holy name and Krishna are what? are one. So Haridas Thakur, he came to Chandanpur in West Bengal, and there was Balram Acharya, who was the priest of Raghunath Das Goswami's family. And Balram Acharya loved Haridas Thakur, so he was very happy. So Haridas Thakur is Brahmachari, not staying in Balram Acharya's householder house. So Balram Acharya, in front of a river, he made a small kutiya and welcomed Haridas Thakur, told him, "You stay here, and every day he will send tiffin." And Haridas Thakur whole day will sit and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, 3 lakh holy names whole day. 3 lakh holy names. Generally 1 lakh holy name is equivalent to 64 rounds. So Haridas Thakur will chant 3 lakh, 64 plus 64 plus 64. 64 he will chant loudly, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. 64 he will chant in his lips. And 64 he will chant in the mind. Like this, 3 lakh holy names he will chant. So one day, the Majumdar family, Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar, they had a satsang program in their house. They invited Panditas, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, relatives, friends, neighbors, their contacts. So they told Balram Acharya, "If Haridas Thakur comes here, it will be very nice. Can you please invite him?" So Balram Acharya went to Haridas Thakur, very humbly requested that Majumdar family is inviting you for kirtan and satsang. Haridas Thakur said, "Okay, I will come." So on the day Haridas Thakur came, and as soon as he came, they offered him a vyasasana. And everybody offered him obeisances. And everybody started talking about Haridas Thakur. How he is a pure brahmachari. How he has realized the holy name. How he chants 3 lakh holy names. He just begs food, doesn't cook. Lives very austere. And as they were talking about Haridas Thakur, they started talking about the holy name. That holy name is transcendental. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, all our sinful reactions are eradicated, all our fruitive activities are vanished. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, we get liberation. Haridas Thakur stopped them. He said, "What you are saying is not correct. Eradication of sinful activities and liberation of cycle of birth and death, this is not the primary effect of the holy name. These are secondary effect of the holy name. The primary effect of the holy name, what is the primary effect of holy name? That you go mad. You get Krishna prem, which from material viewpoint is equal to madness. The primary effect of holy name is you get Krishna prem. And such a devotee, not considering social situation, will go on the street and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sometimes he will dance, sometimes he will walk, sometimes he will roll on the ground, sometimes he will cry tears in the eyes, sometimes he will laugh, sometimes he will scream, sometimes he will be silent. That's madness. And that's the primary effect of the holy name." Haridas Thakur was explaining, and he said, "Just like when the sun rises, before the sun rises, there is twilight, some light coming on earth planet. At that time, the fear of ghosts, owls, thieves, they all run away. The fear runs away. And then when actual sun rises, people do their normal activities. In the same way, before chanting even the pure holy name of Krishna, there is twilight, shadow of the holy name, Naam Abhas. Even when chanting Naam Abhas, just like before sun rises, the darkness goes away, by Naam Abhas, the sinful reactions go away and liberation occurs. But when actual sun rises, when actual holy name rises in the heart, then a person does his day-to-day activity, normal activity, and the normal activity of the soul is to naturally serve Krishna. So before the sun rises, darkness is gone. And actual sun rises, you do your normal activities. So before the holy name, pure holy name is chanted, even Naam Abhas, the material existence is gone, eradication of sinful reactions happen, cycle of birth and death is cleared. And when you actually chant the holy name of Krishna, you go back home, back to Godhead, you develop Krishna prema. You develop Krishna prema. So the actual primary effect of chanting offenseless is to develop Krishna prema. Everybody was so happy. What an understanding, what a realization. And there was one Brahmana in the audience. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. He was staff member of Majumdar, who would collect 12 lakh gold coins annually for the treasury of the emperor. So he was big contributor to the work of Majumdars. They were very rich people. Young Brahmana, he heard all this. He got upset. He shouted, "What nonsense you are speaking, sentimental devotee. Out of millions and millions of years of jnana, dhyana, yajna, one doesn't get liberation. And you saying just by chanting one's holy name one gets liberation? Why don't accept this?" Haridas Thakur said, "We should accept this. You also should accept this because this is written in the scriptures. We don't understand the glories of the holy name by our logic, by our knowledge. We understand it by reading from scriptures. And Ajamila is the proof. He chanted the holy name of Narayan and he got liberated." Gopal Chakravarti said, "I don't accept this. You prove to me yourself that by one Namabhas, one holy name, somebody gets liberated. If you cannot prove, I will cut your nose." Gopal Chakravarti challenged. All the audience got surprised. What is happening? Haridas Thakur said, "I accept your challenge. If by Namabhas somebody doesn't get liberated, I will myself cut my nose." But meanwhile, the audience got very angry on Gopal Chakravarti. Balram Acharya chastised Gopal Chakravarti. The audience left the place because if offense is going on, you should not stay at that place. You should just leave. Otherwise, we incur the same offense. And that's not good for our spiritual life. And Majumdas also chastised Gopal Chakravarti and terminated him immediately. "You rascal, you get out. We don't want your work." He was giving good contribution, profit, but this. Then they beg forgiveness from Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur said, "No, don't worry. Nothing to forgive. You are not at fault. Even Gopal Chakravarti is not at fault. Nobody can understand holy name and the glories through logic and argument. We have to accept scriptures." But he doesn't accept scriptures. Haridas Thakur was peaceful. He went back to his hut. Meanwhile, Gopal Chakravarti, next day, people saw in the village, he got a disease, leprosy. His nose melted, his ears melted, his eyes melted, his fingers and toes and fingers of hand and legs melted. He became ugly and painful. So people understood because he offended Haridas Thakur, so he underwent this situation. If we offend a Vaishnava, the nature of Vaishnava is to forget it. That is one nature of a pure devotee. That if you offend him, he will forget it. And the nature of Krishna is never forget if you offend a Vaishnava. Krishna will give punishment. So he was punished by the Lord. When Haridas Thakur came to know, he didn't like it. So he left the village and he went forward to Shantipur. So holy name of Krishna is transcendental, beyond the three modes of material nature, non-different from Krishna. So when we chant the holy name of Krishna, we directly come in contact with Krishna. Krishna is on our tongue. And that is how we get purified. And we go forward, we grow in spiritual life. So one should be very attentive. Without offenses, we should chant the holy name of Krishna. We should develop this attitude that holy name is non-different from Krishna. Then it will be easy to remove offenses. We should value. If we value the holy name, it's very easy to chant nicely, with proper attention, without offenses. Just like if I give you a box, 5 kg box, and tell you to deliver it somewhere, and you go in the train, and it's heavy, 5 kg. So what you do? Sit in the train, keep the box in the luggage, and relax. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or sleep, no problem. When the destination comes, you remove the parcel and carry. Right? That's what we do. In between journey, I give you a call. Say, I forgot to tell you one thing. That box contains gold and it's for you. Then what will you do? Continue? No, immediately take the box, keep it in the lap and say, okay. I should have gone in taxi if I had known earlier. Immediately the whole behavior towards the box changed. Why? Because now I understand this is valuable. In the same way, if we hear the glories of Krishna and the holy name and understand this is more valuable than what I thought yesterday, is more valuable, then automatically our behavior and attitude towards the holy name will change. And what to speak about when we understand the highest value, which is equal to Krishna, holy name is equal to Krishna. That's self-realization, that's more than self-realization, that's pure holy name. So we should understand this. Krishna comes down as an incarnation, but he is not any, no material contamination is there. And he comes in various forms. Like there are 10 incarnations, 10 popular incarnations. He comes in tortoise form, Kurma avatar, boar form, Vara avatar, Parshuram, Vaman, so many fish, Matsya, Narsingha, so many forms he comes. Unlimited forms he comes, but all are beyond material contamination. All are divya, all are spiritual, beyond three modes of material nature. And all these forms come and they come according to their internal potency. Not according to Maya, not under Maya. We should not think he is one of us. If the minister visits the prison, all the prisoners will say, one more has come. No, he is not the prisoner. I mean, he is not caught yet. He is not one of us. He is the visitor. So when Krishna comes, he is not one of us conditioned soul. He is visitor. He is transcendental. He comes and he performs wonderful activities. Ascharya Karmane. Wonderful, attractive activities. There is one chapter in Krishna book called Wonderful Krishna. Anybody remembers? Wonderful Krishna. After Krishna rescued Nanda Maharaj from Varuna's clutches underwater, under Yamuna, all the Gokulvasis, Brajvasis, they were saying this, Wonderful Krishna, Wonderful Krishna. Because they are seeing his pastimes. He just rescued Nanda Maharaj, he lifted Govardhan Hill, he killed Putana, Bakasur, Agasur. He thought, he is wonderful. Wonderful child. So Krishna is wonderful. Just by saying this, Krishna is wonderful, it's devotional service. You advance in spiritual life just by saying this. Adbhut. So to this wonderful Krishna, we should offer obeisances. That's what Gajendra is doing and teaching us. Nama, unto him I offer obeisances. Offering obeisances is a very high activity in devotional service, which Srila Prabhupada has given us even in beginning. That you come to temple, you offer obeisances. When Krishna gives darshan, you offer obeisances. When you leave the temple hall, you offer obeisances. And by that, we advance in spiritual life. Nal Kuver Manigrive, when Krishna uprooted the two Arjuna trees, two demigods came out, Kuvera son, Nal Kuver Manigrive. They offered many prayers. At the end said, "We cannot offer so many prayers. You are unlimited. How much we will speak? You are so great. The best is we offer you obeisances." So they offered obeisances to Krishna, circumambulated, and with his permission left. So offering obeisances is ultimate realization that nothing more I can do. So Prabhupada has very mercifully given us this in the initial stages of bhakti. So very carefully we should offer obeisances, touching our head on the floor, extending our hands. Sometimes I have observed one devotee keep bead bag in one hand and offer obeisances with one hand. Netra devotion very clearly says this is aparadha. Keep bead bag somewhere else or pocket or wherever, but both hands should properly touch the ground or floor. Or one hand, offering obeisances with one hand is offense. So we should not do that. And we should not be silent while offering obeisances. We should chant pranam mantra of Krishna, Namo Mahavadanaya, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, or at least Radha Rajbihari ki jaye, Sitaram Lakshman Uman ki jaye, Gaur Nitai ki jaye. Something we should say, or Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We should not be silent. And we should offer obeisances properly, dandvat, all our body, head, chest, knees, legs, hands, they all should touch the ground. Our eyes should be bowing down to Krishna, should look down. Don't offer obeisances that look like this. And mind, words should also be offering glorification to Krishna. And there should be mind also bowing down to Krishna. The attitude of servant should be there. So in this way we offer obeisances and Krishna watches. Good boy. Achha bhakta. So he blesses us. He is standing there to bless us, but we have to be ready to receive that blessings. So by offering obeisances, we receive the blessings. It's devotional service. So very nicely we should do that, offer obeisances to Krishna, and gradually we grow in Krishna consciousness. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we will take. Or any comments? Yes.
Elsewhere we find that the demons killed by Lord are goes to Brahma Jyoti.
But sorry? Sorry?
Demons killed by Lord.
Demons.
Go to Brahma Jyoti, but in this verse it is said it is Brahma Lok. They will go to Brahma Lok. So is there any discrepancy?
No, this Brahma Lok is not Lord Brahma Lok. This Brahma Lok is referring to merging in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. That's in the spiritual world.
This Gaja and Gra had no personal enmity in past life.
Gajendra
and crocodiles, they had no any enmity, any animosity in the past life. Then how they got contacted like this? They had no personal enmity.
You don't require personal enmity. Crocodile is hungry. That's sufficient. We eat food not because of enmity. We are hungry, so we eat food.
But
the crocodile is hungry. He got elephant. Such a nice lunch. He pulled him.
He cannot digest whole elephant, no?
So daily, little. That you don't worry. He will eat. He doesn't have to eat whole one time. Right? No. Digestion is not a problem. The bigger problem is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very nicely explained how Krishna is transcendental and we should not understand Krishna to be material, just as the sun is beyond the lamps. So devotees also we should not see materially, but then how we can develop that vision?
How we can?
Not see devotees materially.
So there are liberated sadhakas, there are not yet liberated sadhakas. We deal with devotees as per Vaishnava etiquette. We don't understand who is liberated, who is not liberated, just by one interaction. It is not within our intelligence to so easily understand. So we deal with devotees as per proper etiquette, respecting them. Paramatma is sitting in their heart. They are serving Krishna. So if I am offering service, then I serve them as I serve Krishna very nicely. If I relate with them, I relate with them with proper respect, proper etiquette. Even if from my eyes they are ordinary souls, but actually they are not ordinary. They are Krishna's servants and I am servant of Krishna. So we relate very nicely. Okay? Devotees are at different stages. We follow our proper etiquette.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, how one can understand that he is crossing the stage that of Namaprat, Namabhas? Or what precautions or endeavors one should take to go beyond?
So there are three stages of the holy chanting of holy name: Namaprat, Namabhas, and Shuddha Nam. So Namabhas stage is where aprad are lessening. Offenses are happening. And offenses are lessening, reducing. That's Namabhas stage. And no offenses. The love for Krishna. That's understanding that Krishna's holy name is non-different from Krishna. That's Shuddha Nam. So when offenses are lessening, the weeds, the dirts, the anarthas, the material contamination in the heart, they will go away. We will understand no material desires are there. There is taste in the holy name. There is eagerness to chant. We want to chant more. There is attraction to the holy name. Lust, anger, greed. Earlier as much as they were troubling, now they are not troubling. And we are not doing offenses. Whenever we are interacting with Vaishnavas, we are careful. No Vaishnava aparad. When we are serving the scriptures or the deities, we are careful. When we are serving spiritual master, we are careful. When we are preaching, we are careful to present the holy name in such a way that we are not doing any offenses. We are not having any material attachments. So these 10 offenses we should know. And when we are very conscious that these offenses are not happening, avoiding internally as well as externally, mentally as well as physically, and weeds, dirt things are reducing, attraction is happening, that means it's Namabhas. Okay? Yes.
Krishna. Prabhuji, when you say about the importance of chanting attentively, so when we chant regularly, daily, the quality of chanting always differs. It is not the same daily.
Come back.
The quality of chanting on daily basis when we see, one day, 2 days, it's not the same. It always differs. Sometimes we feel sleepy, sometimes the mind is so agitated, it always distracts. There are many things. The quality is always, sometimes it's very smooth. We can chant properly also. So how to maintain that quality? What should be our attitude?
It is very good to chant daily at the same time, same place, in association of devotees, sleep early at night, keep chanting. One very nice way to improve our chanting is to chant more. One very nice way to reduce our offenses is to chant more. Chanting more helps us to chanting good. Nice chanting. Very nice way. So if you chant more, it will help you to chant better. If you chant more, it will help you to reduce offenses. Right? So we should be, if there should be no distractions, there should be no laziness, there should not be sleep problems, so we sleep early, we wash our face, we sit with devotees, we chant loudly, and we chant more. Chanting more will help to maintain the quality. Okay? It is not our endeavor or effort or skill or talent or mental adjustment or intellectual activity which will help us to chant better. We should not think that by proper bodily activity, mental activity, intellectual activity, I can chant better. Chanting the holy name is person, non-different from Krishna. And Nam has his own free will, sweet will. And whether he comes on our tongue or not is not based on my tongue. Just because I can vibrate tongue, that doesn't mean I can chant. It is wrong. It's not by my endeavor I can chant the holy name of Krishna. It's Krishna's mercy who comes on my tongue. We should understand this. As much as we think that is my physical activity and vibration capacity and ability to speak, hence I am speaking Krishna, that much will still be in offensive stage. We should understand Krishna is coming on my tongue, not I am chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna is coming on my tongue, it's His mercy I am receiving Him, so I should hear. So we should not think it's my endeavor by which I am chanting. It's Krishna's causeless mercy by which He is coming on my tongue. So this is very important attitude. Even for chanting, we are dependent on Krishna, not on our tongue. If you are dependent on Krishna, then that chanting is better than depending on so many other things in life. So the feeling of dependence should be there, then chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will create wonders and miracles in our life. If the feeling of dependence is not there, then it will become mechanical. Then there will be so many offenses. So our whole day, our whole life, our all decisions, our all actions should be with dependence on Krishna. Then we are better situated. Not by our endeavor we can chant Hare Krishna. Just because I have a tongue, so I am chanting Hare Krishna, looks so nice, looks so true, agreeable, but wrong, incorrect. We don't chant because I have a tongue, we chant because Krishna comes on my tongue. Right? He is a person. He doesn't want to come on my tongue and I chant, and that means I am greater than him. I am controlling him. But that's not true. So it's his will that he comes on my tongue. It's not my effort that I take him on my tongue. Okay? Narada's very gives darshan. That's his will he gives darshan. Not because I have eyes and I have a ticket to Juhu and I have a money for auto, so I come here and I get darshan. It's his will that he is giving darshan. It's not my money or endeavor by which I am getting darshan. So we should understand. He is great. He is in control. And you know one thing? He is still in control. Okay? Any more questions? Yes.
Can you explain about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhava? He worshipped Krishna as a supreme personality Godhead. At the same time, he is in Madhurya. So how it is possible?
He is in Madhurya?
He is in Madhurya, na, in Radharani. And also worship Krishna as supreme personality.
So everybody worships Krishna as Das. Even Radharani is Das. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to serve Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a devotee, was in Dasya Bhav. He had a mood of Radharani. But as a devotee, Dasya Bhav. He showed us how to be a servant of Krishna. So, Radharani is also servant of Krishna. She also cooks for Krishna. She also makes garland for Krishna. She also decorates Krishna, just as pujaris do. They cook for Krishna, they decorate Krishna, they make garlands for Krishna. So there is nothing wrong in that, there is no contradiction in that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to be a servant of Krishna by serving, following all the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, chanting, getting up early morning, Mangala Arati. And that is his external performance. Internally he was in the mood of Radharani to taste the nectar of devotional service. So there are lots of pastimes in which he expressed that sentiment, that mood, crying for Krishna, Radharani crying for Krishna. So when he was pulling Lord Jagannath's rath, one is as a servant, serving Jagannath, One is on Madhurya level, pulling Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. So both was visible, and both is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we don't have to imitate, we have to learn that I am servant of Krishna, so I perform my sadhana. We don't imitate Madhurya Bhav. Okay? Yes. Mic.
Those who are not initiated, but they chant, say, for 20 years regularly.
They chant
Harinam regularly for, say, last 20 years, but they don't get initiation. Then what will happen to that stock of chanting? Will it be authorized chanting?
Yes. Even without initiation and proper chanting, one can go back home, back to Godhead. Chanting is not lost. No problem.
So then what is the significance of initiation then?
We don't chant nicely, no?
Huh?
We don't chant nicely, we need support. Only holy name is sufficient to go back home, back to Godhead. But we don't do that. Plus, the point is not initiation, the point is surrender. Surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Without the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot enter into Krishna's seva. Initiation, what we do here, is a ceremony. Ceremony. Formality. That's not the main point. Initiation is not an event. It's a process. A process where disciple and spiritual master develop a relationship of pariprasthena sevaya, of asking questions, hearing answers, and offering menial service. So this is an event. When that process is done and it's happening, then as per the surrender of the disciple, the spiritual master takes responsibility that whatever seva you are offering, I'll give it to Krishna, and whatever blessings Krishna is offering, I'll give it to you. And that is how the disciple grows. What initiation, if at all, you are talking about is a ceremony. That's a formality. There's a fire sacrifice and the spiritual master is sitting, changing your name, asking your vows, and changing, giving your name, and three times people are chanting, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. Usse kuch nahi hota hai. That's a ceremony. That's good. It helps us to become determined, serious, because we have taken vows in front of deities, Agni, Guru and Vaishnavas. But ceremony and the process, there is a difference. Just like when you go to school, you have uniform, tie, belt, shoes, and you sit in class and you hear, you get education. Now if you don't wear a uniform, if you don't wear a tie, if you don't wear a belt, if you don't fill the admission form and you sit in the class, still you will get the same education. So admission, uniform, tie, belt, shoes is a formality. That's nothing had to do with education. Without that also you can get education. So without fire sacrifice and ceremony also you can have a spiritual master whom you are surrendered, pariprasthena seva, you can go back home, back to God. But ordinary souls, just like earlier, there was no initiation ceremony. The disciple would go to Guru and Guru would bless, sometimes keep his feet on his head and done. So ceremony is there so that we become serious. We take vows and we maintain the vows. So if somebody chanting the holy name of Krishna, surrender to Prabhupada, surrender to Sadhu, surrender to spiritual master whom he has accepted in the heart but not taken the initiation ceremony, still he can go back home, back to God.
Sometimes it is written that they will go to hell.
Huh?
Without initiation, if somebody is chanting, then they will go to hell.
No. Is it? No.
One of the Vaishnava Acharya said like that. I don't remember the name.
No. If somebody performs devotional service without accepting a spiritual master, that's not good.
That's not?
You are equating initiation with acceptance of spiritual master. I am not equating. Initiation, generally what we know, first initiation, second initiation is a ceremony. Without spiritual master, you can't progress in Krishna consciousness. So you have to surrender to somebody. So if somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, somebody told him Krishna is God. Somebody told him Krishna is God, you chant Hare Krishna. He is a spiritual master. He is obeying him. He has not seen Krishna. He doesn't know Krishna is God. He doesn't know Krishna's name is equal to Krishna. But he heard from somebody that Krishna is God. You chant Hare Krishna. And he is doing it. So that person is a spiritual master.
It is virtual initiation.
Huh?
Virtual initiation.
Virtual? No, no. What nonsense is this?
Virtual initiation.
There is no concept called virtual initiation in Shastra. There is nothing like that. This is Vartama Pradaksha Guru, a person who first told you about Krishna consciousness. He is also a spiritual master. Then you hear Bhagavatam classes, you meet devotees, you ask questions. All these are Shiksha Guru. They are instructing spiritual master. But initiation has not happened and he dies. All his chanting will not go in vain. Right?
The spiritual master body is also transcendental, no?
Huh?
Spiritual master's body is also transcendental, no?
Yes.
Then you, me, so many people sitting here are spiritual masters that way. If we are Shiksha Guru, then our body is also transcendental.
You, me, I am not transcendental.
No, but you are Shiksha Guru, no?
Very difficult question.
Thank you, sir.
So, there are difference between functional Guru, who may not be liberated, but he can guide day to day. There are two types of Shiksha Guru. One is liberated Shiksha Guru, and one is just helping us in functional day to day devotional service. Narad Muni, Sukhdev Goswami, they are also Shiksha Gurus, liberated Shiksha Guru. And there is some Shiksha Guru who may also himself be a sadhaka, but is mature enough to guide us. So he is taking helping us in day to day functional devotional service. So that fellow should not think himself transcendental. But the disciple may worship and serve him according to his capacity as representative of parampara, representative of his Diksha Guru, or representative of Krishna. But if somebody who is giving a class on Bhagavatam and somebody asking question and replying anything, I am transcendental, then that is a problem. But we receive and worship them in that way, so that we receive benefit and blessings of Krishna, that's fine. Okay? Any more questions? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.